Okay, well, I'll invite Father Mike and Father Larry to come up for a Q&A right now. There was a statement made about the consecration of Russia. I believe Maureen made it yesterday, that Lady Fatima had requested the consecration of Russia to her Immaculate Heart. And there was a question we have. Was the consecration of Russia to the Immaculate Heart accepted by God?
From what I understand, it was accepted, but it wasn't what God wanted because it was impossible to do it at that time when John Paul II did it. Because there's no way all the bishops in the world would do what God wanted. And it was too late anyway. World War II had already occurred, and Russia had already spread her errors, so what was given by John Paul II was accepted. And what effect that has, we don't really know.
That was my understanding also. I remember I was listening to this tape of one time on the divine will. It was a conference that was given in Tampa, and what was his name? Hugh Owens, right. He gave this wonderful talk about Our Lady of Fatima, the message and the consecration to Russia. And he gave this great experience where he was over in Russia, and he attended this liturgy, this Orthodox liturgy. And he was amazed at the level of reverence that the people had at Mass there, you know. He said, I even remember President Putin came in for this Mass, you know. And I was like, wow, so how's this happening, you know? And he mentioned there that it was his understanding that the people of Russia had a great devotion to Our Lady, and that when the consecration of Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary was going to be made, it would be basically, as John Paul II had said, you know, it would be the right lung of the church being merged with being in conjunction with the left lung of the church. You know, and so if it had happened, then it would have caused the triumph of the Immaculate Heart to come into the world, and then communism would not have spread its error, which it has done already, as we all well know. Communism has spread its error so much that it's even within our country today. So the thing of it is that Hugh Owen was saying that, yes, the Holy Father did what Our Lady had asked, but it wasn't accepted by everybody. And that's really the key to it. If people are not going to accept it, then how is it going to have validity? And that's really the key. And I think that's what we have to do as children of the United Hearts. You know, basically evangelizing the conversion of the heart of the world to the United Hearts now, more than just the Immaculate Heart of Mary, means that we have to accept it in our hearts first and try to encourage those who we are evangelizing to accept it as well. And that's what's going to cause the true triumph, like our Blessed Mother had asked.
How many times do we need to pray in groups? Once per week, once per month, every day?
I think we covered that. You pray constantly, all the time. Anytime you think about prayer, do it. I mean, it's no structure. If you like praying, pray.
Yeah, it's pretty simple. Blessed Mother said, pray constantly and be united. That's all she's asking.
Understanding that as people are being drawn to the mission work of Holy Love, they will want to know if there are any other prayer groups or others who want to form prayer groups in their area. Is there a system in place to connect new inquirers within those who are already in Children of the United Hearts Association groups, or are they trying to form one? I'll just answer that one. Okay? All right. We are, this, I was going to mention this at the end, but We do need to make sure our information for the association, every member in the association, is current. Okay, email, name, address, phone number, this type of information was already asked for, and we want to make sure it's complete for that purpose. As you go out and evangelize, as you know, we all go out, myself included, other people are interested in praying, we need to ask them for that information so that we can then keep in contact with them as well. So it's a dual purpose, right? Maintain our synergy and connectedness, and also to be able to, when we have these types of questions, you know, where are the prayer groups in my area? We can then use that information to then assist people coming together and praying together. So it's only as good as the information in our database. We have bad data, we're not going to really answer that question. So it's all upon us to make sure that database is accurate. We have the people, the resources here to do that. We just need the information. Should confraternity prayer groups within with format given previously be replaced by Children of the United Hearts Association prayer with no format, but pray from our hearts? It's a good question.
First of all, I think the main thing that we need to understand is that what is the difference between the Confraternity of the United Hearts and the Children of the United Hearts Association? My understanding is that the Confraternity of the United Hearts is really an outgrowth of the Missionary Service of Holy Love. Okay, basically, those two are apostolates. They're really movements, you know, much like the mendicant movement was for the Franciscans, you know. As you well know, you know, Franciscans developed a lot of third orders, you know, so much so that they even developed a religious order called the Third Order Regulars, you know. That's the way that I see the Confraternity of the United Hearts. It's really a movement that really encourages the journey of personal holiness through the chambers of the United Hearts, and then to make that known throughout the world. That's different than the Children of the United Hearts Association. Their main focus, the Children of the United Hearts Association, is to pray for the conversion of the heart of the world and to evangelize that. Okay? So we have two different things here. One is a movement to get people more in tune with the journey of personal holiness through the chambers of the United Hearts. And the second is to pray for the conversion of the heart of the world, and by means of our evangelizing that. Now, the thing of it is, of course, they do overlap. So there's no problem that I would see in being a member of the Confraternity of the United Hearts and at the same time developing a prayer group to pray for the conversion of the heart of the world. Because you've got that background of the journey of personal holiness that you're trying to go through. And you can spread that at the same time as you're evangelizing. That's the way I see it.
Could have said it better myself.
Where did I hear that before? Can you give a 2-minute example of what? You can each give 1 minute and 1 minute. Of what one could say when evangelizing to non-Catholic Christians on the topic of the United Hearts, covering aspects that are most important, and where we differ in beliefs, possibly, thus creating unity in the body of Christ. So, 2-minute example of what one could say when evangelizing to non-Catholic Christians on the topic of the United Hearts, covering aspects that are most important, and where we possibly differ in beliefs. Thus creating unity in the body of Christ, because we're all on the same team together fighting the same adversary. So, Father Mike needs to pray about that. So that means Father Larry's up first.
And I think Father Mike's a good answer. There's no pat answer. It depends on the situation that you're in, who you're talking to, and what kind of rapport you might have with that person. I mean, it's not like you're meeting a person on the street and you go up to them and find out you might, they're a Protestant, or you're going into a Protestant group evangelization, the way I understand it under what we're talking now, is the Holy Spirit cues you to do something. And so you get a little inspiration to talk to someone. It doesn't matter if they're a Christian or not. They could be a Muslim. They could be a non-believer of any kind. And that, to me, is really what we're looking at here. And you find out if they're Protestant, they may not believe, but Catholics believe, that's okay. You can spend some time talking about why we believe what we believe, and that's why you need to know your faith. Because then you're getting off the topic a little. But if you get people just to pray and understand what this message is about, and then you can always deal with side issues, like purgatory. People don't believe in purgatory. I say, if you don't believe in purgatory, then you don't believe in God's love. Because purgatory is an expression of the mercy of God's love. You realize how few people would be saved if it wasn't a purgatory. Who is perfect enough to go straight to heaven? John Paul II, St. Teresa of Calcutta, and other than that, I'm stymied. I mean, you think of it. I mean, you have to be Christ-like in all aspects of your thought, word, and deed, without any attachment to the world, the flesh, or the devil, or any even concept of what sin is. You are so saintly, so holy. Yeah, you know about it, and you work against it, but to be perfect when we die, the people who go to heaven that I know of usually suffer a lot. And that suffering is their purgatory on earth. So, I mean, it's really a process of being detached from all the things that were attached to. And so, I mean, that's just on the purgatory issue. There's other things, you know, the primacy of the Pope. I mean, you can go on and on and on, but those are side issues, I think.
You know, at one point yesterday when we were talking about evangelization, I didn't really have enough time, and I think this is the time to do it. I had a couple of examples that people sent me as to what, because I had asked a couple of people here, you know, what do you do when you evangelize people, you know? And one of them is right here in front of us, so I want to turn this over to him.
I'm trying to remember what I wrote in that email. I'm going to have to forget it and just say, Holy Spirit, inspire me. Remember that prayer we got recently? So one of the first things I remember doing, this is from the messages and from my own experiences that I've developed over the years, send out your angels ahead of you. We have to rely on our angels more often, all right? Number one. Number two, Father Mike had mentioned, we're all on different paths. So we just a lot of times have to have a perspective of, I'm planting a seed. I'm not trying to change anybody. It's not my job to change anybody. It's just to share, and share from the I perspective. And understand that where a person may be is probably because of where they've been. So, and no fault of their own. Now, it's one thing for someone to, I mean, Pope John Paul II says that the greatest opportunity for evangelization and our main focus should be the fallen away Catholics, because they've been explained the truth and they've rejected the truth. Their souls are at most risk. So there's a prayer that I pray, say, Holy Spirit, fill me, Father, guide me, Jesus, help me. Something to that effect, okay? And then step out. And get out of the way. You have to have humility. One of the tricks of Satan is to instill knowledge in a person and puff that person up in that knowledge. And then the person uses that knowledge to beat people over the head with it, or to just, they're tempted not to evangelize it with charity. It's more talking down, condemnation, you know, all these things that hurt a heart and a soul and actually pushes them further away. So I'm sure you have your other examples and other things you could share and say from your own experiences, but rely on your angels, rely on the Holy Spirit. Try to make sure you see it from the proper perspective. Don't worry about taking anything personally. Offer material. Say, you know, and don't ever give the answer. I got this from John Martignoni, EWTN, Open Line. Probably the best apologist today. He's a cross between Scott Hahn and C.S. Lewis. So if you look up John Martignoni, you will learn via BibleChristianSociety.com, an awesome website, but I learned this from him, is to don't give an answer for a question if you don't know it. Just say, I don't know it, but I'll get back, I'm going to go find out and I'll get back to you. That takes all the pressure off. And then you take a step back, go find some information. You can hand people stuff and that's less intrusive. A person will usually accept it, especially if you begin this dialogue. And they can throw it away if they want, but there's actually, they feel no pressure at that point because you've entered a dialogue with them. And it usually, everything boils down to interpretation. That's what I've seen from my experiences. I believe this because of this. You give them all the reasons. A lot of times they've never heard the Catholic perspective. And you'd be amazed that, you know, people, like I said, are just planting a seed. And keep in mind, they're Christian too. They're baptized, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as we are. The Holy Spirit is in them. So it's not like we're better than you. We've just had a different life than they have. And if we're in the same shoes as they were, would we be as good as they are? Would we even be following Christ as they are? So give them that big time. You know, look at them here and us just as servants used by the Holy Spirit as He desires us to be used. We have 1 minute, and here, can we have can we leave literature in various places? Do we need permission?
I used to do that all the time. And the pastor might take and remove it. I didn't care. I put literature anywhere because he might miss it. You know? Or he might, or by the end, he might read it, you know, and learn something. I would put literature everywhere and anywhere you can, or where the Spirit inspires you to put it. Because, I mean, you've only got so much liturgy, you don't want to put it in some place, you know, like Joe's bar, although that might be a good place. You know? Joe might read it and close the bar and turn into a chapel. But, you know, it's. I mean, don't limit yourself. You see that ad, think outside the box? Don't be boxed in, either by convention or the church. Allow the Holy Spirit to explode your mind. Be creative. I mean, we're in the image of God, right? God created. We can be creative too.
Yeah, that's a great answer. And just to share with an experience, this past January, we were down for the March for Life in Washington, D.C., and Diane McParland from Philadelphia, she always goes out there and she evangelizes, you know, the Rosary of the Unborn. And I remember one time we were placing all of these flyers on the Rosary of the Unborn on people's windshields in the parking lot, the shrine, the basilica, you know. And there was this guard behind us, and he's looking at us, and he's going, he's coming behind me, you know, and he's taking them off the windshields, right? So I'm looking back behind me, and I said, didn't I just put those on there over there? Oh, I'm going to go over and put them back on again. Well, that guard, it's like, he said, I just took those off. Who's putting those back on again? And but we had a really good experience too last year, where we went out to the basilica beforehand. We had these new make it known newsletters that we wanted to share with people, and we just put them in the different alcoves at the basilica. And it's like people took whatever they wanted, so that was fine with us, you know. So it's like Father says, you know, it's just like go wherever the Spirit directs you to go, you know. Don't limit yourself.
Thank you, Father Mike. Thank you, Father Larry. So with Father Larry now.
We're going to do some blessing on the religious articles again. Father Mike is going to wet you down. We tried to get a fire hose to make it easy for him, but couldn't find it. Well, let's do a general blessing first, and then we'll do the... So let's start in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, we ask a blessing upon all these religious articles, no matter what they are. Whoever looks at them will be blessed. For we praise be with them or before them, will be triply blessed, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now for all the Benedictine medals. I help in the name of the Lord. I cast out the demon from you, creature medals, by God the Father Almighty, who made heaven and earth and the seas and all they contain. May all power of the adversary, all assaults and the pretensions of Satan be repulsed and driven afar from these metals, so that they may be for all who will use them a help in mind and body. In the name of the Father Almighty, of Jesus Christ, the Son, our Lord, of the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, in the love of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is coming to judge both the living and the dead and the world by fire. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name.
Save your servants who trust in you, my God. Let us find in you, Lord, a fortified tower in the face of the enemy. The Lord will give you strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with his peace. Lord, send us aid from your holy place. Lord, heed my prayer. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, lavish dispenser of every good, we humbly ask that by the prayers of St. Benedict, you pour out your blessings on these sacred medals, impressed with letters and signs ascribed to you, that all who will wear them with hearts intent on good works deserve to obtain health of mind and body, your holy grace, the indulgences that have been granted to us, and may they escape by your merciful help all the attacks and wiles of the devil, and finally appear in your presence sinless and holy through Christ our Lord. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, who willed in redeeming the whole world to be born of a virgin, to be circumcised, rejected by the Jews, betrayed by a kiss by Judas, bound in chains, crowned with thorns, pierced by nails, crucified between robbers, wounded with a lance, and to die at last on the cross. I humbly ask this by your sacred passion, that you expel all attacks and wiles of the devil from the person who devoutly calls on your holy name, using these words and signs ascribed to you. May it please you to lead them to the harbor of everlasting salvation, you who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Got a nice little additional item I want to read. Someone in the staff gave this to me yesterday, and it's perfect for this conference. This is from the year 13 something or other, given by St. Gregory Palamas. He died in 1359. This could have been written last night. It came from, I think it might have been the Magnificat, or Day by Day. It says Day by Day. Worthwhile fruit of the vine. The invisible serpent, the originator of evil, is inventive, versatile, and extremely skillful in contriving wickedness. He has means to hinder our good purposes and actions as soon as they begin. But if he fails to prevent them initially, he sets up other devices which he can render them useless once they are underway. If he is unable to make them worthless when they are halfway to completion, he knows other tricks and ways to invalidate them even once they are finished, and makes them a source not of reward, but of harm to all but the most careful. First of all, he points out how laborious and difficult to accomplish virtue is. In this way, he fills us with laziness and despair, as though we were attempting difficult and impossible things, and were therefore incapable of putting our intentions into action. Then he engenders disbelief in the rewards which God has promised to those who struggle. But we, brethren, should rise above this trap by our soul's courage, eagerness, and faith. We should bear in mind the fact that just as the earth cannot yield worthwhile fruit without labor, so the soul cannot acquire anything which pleases God or leads to salvation without spiritual struggles. But while it is possible to find earth which is unsuitable for cultivation, every human soul is naturally suited to virtue. As we are all unavoidably condemned, however, by a judgment given against our forefathers, to live by labor and toil, let us turn necessity into an honor, and willingly offer to God what is ours not by our own will. Let us give up transitory things in exchange for things that endures, and receive what is beneficial in exchange for what is harmful, transforming short-lived toil into a means to gain eternal ease. If we labor here for the sake of virtue, we shall certainly attain to the rest promised in the age to come. He who promised is trustworthy and is at hand to help all who really take on the struggle for virtue. If he who can do all things gives us his help, is anything impossible to achieve? All is possible with God. Likewise, nothing good can come without God's help.
Amen.
And I've got one more message which contains a prayer, I believe. This is given March 9th of this year. Dear children, be united in prayer as I've taught you to be. This is from the Blessed Mother. Pray that the heart of the world be in a spiritual accord with the divine will of the Father. Let there be no ambition, envy, or jealousy amongst you. This must be an all-out effort of worldwide prayer. Do not seek any endorsement. Just pray as never before. Draw others into this effort and into lives consecrated to the truth of holy love. God is listening, watching and waiting, just as he did at Nineveh. Remember Nineveh and Jonah? Invite others into the Children of the United Hearts Association by asking them to simply pray two prayers and have hope, because God is always present.
Some final housekeeping items. Some of our volunteers are now going to be moving among you with love offering baskets for any love offering that your heart feels moved to give. And we do thank you for your generosity. And we thank all of you who have donated to the ministry over the years. Your donations help us to operate. So thank you so much. The conference recordings will be available at a later date. We will make announcements about that when they are available, and hopefully we may be able to put them up on the website as well. The prayer cards that you received, we are having them translated into many, many languages, which we will be putting up on the website over the next couple of weeks. So we have the Spanish and English ones up there now so that you can print them off if you care to, and we have received translations from all over the world for the prayer cards, so please watch the website for that as well. There's still time to sign Blessed Mother's birthday cards, if you care to, that are out on the table and also in the main table over in the other side of the Aquinas Center. You are very welcome to keep your name tags, but if you would like to turn them back in so that we may reuse the holders for the next meeting, we will have a box outside the door, someone holding it hopefully, that it will say name tags on there. And if you want to turn them in, we'd be very grateful. Or you could take the name out of it and just give us back the holder. A reminder that when we dismiss here, we will have a 3 p.m. service in the chapel next door, followed by a 4 p.m. birthday party for Blessed Mother in the cafeteria. And all of the participants and all family members are very welcome. And for the last time, class dismissed.